Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the show. So another exciting, thrilling, whatever adjective you choose, season of The Bachelorette has now wrapped up. And here with me to dissect its gruesome ending is someone who certainly has qualities. And that's the great Melissa Sullivan, Mel Got Served. How are you, Mel?
Oh, hello. What a dramatic season. Most dramatic season ever. And I dare say it actually may have lived up to the hype.
Now, see, you are the bachelorette historian among us here, so I am not remotely qualified to judge, but based on what I hear, that wasn't just empty advertising this time.
No, this was legitimately shocking. I did not expect the end to go the way it did, in that I mean that I assumed that this was going to be a huge PR cover-up as soon as we got news there was a girlfriend, and I was pleasantly surprised by what happened at the end.
Okay, so I guess that is an alternate universe where Jed is able to lie low for a little bit longer. He isn't double dipping as much, and his tomfoolery goes undetected.
Oh, can you imagine? I have a lot of thoughts on Jed. I wrote a page of notes on how much I hate Jed, and I've hated Jed since the very beginning. I wrote hated since the first time he played his guitar.
And you hated Jed before it was cool. You know, you were there on the ground floor.
So I have a little thing, which is, and then somebody came at me and they're like, you didn't hate Luke as much. A guy that I always just throughout the season constantly detest always wins The Bachelorette without fail.
Where does the causation go? Is that you placing a curse on them? Is that them placing a curse on you? Like, how does this run, Mel? How deep are you involved in it?
I don't know. I think it goes as bad as my winter predictions of Big Brother and Survivor, which is, you know, just manifesting the worst possible way. I don't know what it is. I do sometimes blame The Bachelorette on like bad editing, but most of the times they are scumbags that get picked and then I'm right and I'm justified.
I know you have a lot of thoughts on Jed. And from what you told me before we started this, you have a lot of thoughts on basically everyone here. So I will let you go off at length about all of them in due course, as well as Hannah and the season and the franchise as a whole. Just anything that you want to get off your chest. This is a good forum to do it, I think. But where do you think is a good place to start here? Because I know when we came in here to talk about Colton's season, as that was all wrapping up, we barely had anything to say about Hannah B. We mentioned her in passing. I don't think either of us were big fans or expected her to be able to carry a season of The Bachelorette by herself. And then when she was announced and we had that god-awfully awkward preview segment for her season, those suspicions seem to be confirmed. But I know that she pleasantly and I guess unpleasantly as well surprised a lot of people along the way this season.
For sure. I had super low expectations and over-delivered. Fun fact, I'm actually 6 degrees of separation from Hannah. I have a mutual friend in the middle. So I felt like a little invested, but going into this, I definitely didn't expect this like 24-year-old girl to really be like the ideal candidate to lead the show. And Hannah really took it by the reins and took on kind of every hater and everything that sort of goes wrong in the show and like, grabbed it by the horns and just took it down.
What expectations did you have coming in then? Because there's been a trend with, not so much recently, but I know in the past with the leads, where if they are that young and where the majority of the cast are that young, it feels like it's just going to be inevitable that they make mistakes along the way and it's unlikely to actually end with a satisfying outcome for them. And with Hannah, you have someone who is still in her early 20s, still figuring a lot of things out, and the majority of her cast, you could say the same thing for as well. So it felt like that was a recipe for disaster that kind of turned out successfully, but then not really at the end.
Right. And also not the kind of type I would have predicted for Hannah to choose. I would have thought like a Tyler, or because she was into Colton, kind of like a beefier football kind of guy. Didn't expect it to be the reincarnation of the Hobbit that plays the guitar.
Well, did you ever get the sense that she was that into Colton in the first place? Because Colton had people quitting en masse on his season, just in droves, as we highlighted back then. Hannah was not one of them. She stuck it out until the bitter end, I suppose. But even she seemed hesitant at times. So I don't know if Colton is a good model for her future husband here.
That's actually a very good point. And if anybody's model in life for a husband is Colton, I'm sorry.
Well, quite. Even well, Cassie, Colton, you know, I imagine.
He was happy.
Even Cassie may be having some regrets in all of that. But I know that there were some red flags being raised about Hannah preseason where someone asked her about, you know, what's her vision of the ideal man or her future husband. And she seemed very enthusiastic about Bradley Cooper's character in A Star Is Born, which, I mean, a great movie character, but not really someone that you want to model any future partner around. And she said time and time again that she is attracted historically to that young, charming player musician type. And so with that in mind, Jed just seems like one in a long line of many.
Yeah. And I mean, he didn't like literally pee his pants, but I guess like metaphorically pissed himself, you know, in all this situation. I haven't watched Star Wars War, but man, do I love that song. But I do know basically that a man pees himself. And to me, that's why I should watch the movie. And I guess like chemistry. But yeah, you know what? I guess now that you're saying this, it makes total sense. And she picked Jed. My friend had told me that Jed kind of looked like her ex also.
Yeah, but she is. There's always some like dark undercurrent there, right? When it's like, well, I guess you're going with what you're familiar with, but then they're probably your ex for a reason. So is that really the best world to draw upon?
Exactly. That's what I hope she got out of this, is that if things don't work out with, you know, Tyler C second time around, that she at least knows here's who is not my type anymore and what I don't need. And that is a guy who his biggest achievement so far is writing a dog food jingle.
And speaking of which, I knew this was going to come up eventually, so we may as well get that out of the way now. I think that we should just play the dog food jingle so that the entire audience who has not gone down the internet rabbit hole on that can experience it in its full majesty. So here we go on that.
You get home, know who's been waiting, wagging by the door. Rain or shine, kind of love like nothing you've seen before. Your dog really does deserve the best. Go pick him up some better bowl.
So I'm not quite sure what to say about that even. Is there some statement on that somewhere buried in your pages and pages of notes that we can go to?
I actually, of all things, forgot to write down dog food jingle, and I thought of that after I put my notes away. But it doesn't have to be written down because it's permeating my mind. It's what he's now iconic for, is talking about that dumb dog food jingle.
And I apologize for any of you out there who now cannot clear that song out of your head. It's going to be stuck there for all eternity, and you can feel free to blame me in the eventual police report or whatever that comes out of that.
It is better than his proposal song, and that's saying something.
Well, just the idea of a proposal song in the first place is in itself a red flag, you could argue. Maybe just a guitar is a red flag. If you bring a guitar on a dating show, it should have just a red flag emblazoned on it, stapled to it, just so no one gets the wrong idea.
Oh, first off, when he walked out to the proposal with that guitar, I screamed, "Are you effing kidding me?" at the TV. And I'm not like being facetious. I actually yelled it. I could not believe it. And then it did in my mind, and then somebody put on Twitter too, flash to all the moments on the show that he was carrying around that dumb guitar. Even like when they went on a date and they were like making out in bed, the guitar was next to him. Like, he did literally say once, I came here for the wrong reasons. And it should have been very clear when everything that they did, including going to his hometown, had to do with music.
That guitar did seem like a safety blanket of sorts at times for Jed. But That idea of Jed openly being there for the wrong reasons, and it's easy to look back at that and criticize Hannah for not seeing that as a red flag, which in retrospect is just a pile of red flags. They're just stacking up episode by episode. But with that in particular, she has said that she knew that nobody was there for the right reasons. And the fact that Jed was so open about it paradoxically made her trust him more, because he at least was willing to say it in the open. And so when he finally confessed to having feelings for her, the fact that he prefaced it with that confession made it seem more sincere and genuine.
Oh, I read the same thing. I had that in my notes. And it's true, because who really, no one's going on The Bachelor with like 100% pure intent. It is what it is. No one goes on any reality show dating kind of thing with like, oh, I'm actually here for love. No one is. It's fun. And
right. Do you think that with Hannah as well, there was an added element of like the Ashley Emily Maynard thing, where if people are expecting or hoping for the lead to be someone else, then whoever is the lead feels a sense of insecurity, imposter syndrome, this idea that, well, surely the guys are there for someone else and they'll have to talk themselves into liking me and I don't know who I can really trust.
Oh, 100%. I think so. I think that especially when there were so many red flags coming up early and just people who didn't jive with her lifestyle. I mean, not that I ever like Luke P in any capacity, but Luke fit into the type that she was looking for versus kind of a lot of other randos that I have, like, a few page notes of certain people. I couldn't tell you anybody beyond, like, the final five or six, because they're all so unmemorable.
Yes, I know my friend was very high on Brian, the music teacher, I think it is, who
I do not know who that is.
I might be misremembering or making somebody up, but hopefully this was a person on the season. But he, from what I heard, made a very swift exit, so not too much for other people to say about him, but we'll throw him in a bone. We'll throw him in there as well.
That actually could be a really fun Bachelor game where you just give, like, a name and a profession and you guess if these are real. I wish I now thought of this earlier and we could play it. But yeah, like, Steve the accountant.
We have Lauren S., who's a 25-year-old social media manager from Birmingham, Alabama. Real or fake? Who knows? It really is up in the air.
Who knows? She'll be on Bachelor in Paradise. But actually, I think, like, not many of Hannah's guys are on Bachelor in Paradise, which I think also shows that they cast duds. Like, real bad. I think casting was at a major fault of this season.
Did you think that initially when her crop of guys was released, or was this as the season went on and they revealed more and more about themselves, we learned the unfortunate truths about many of them?
Oh, as the season goes on, because preseason, I don't know who their photographer is. They always take the most unflattering, horrible photos of these, like, very attractive people. But as soon as the show started, they were all kind of duds. No one was interesting. No one was popping. It was the Luke P show. And maybe that's why we don't know who anybody is, because every single episode until he got eliminated was about Luke P.
Yeah, I know a lot of the fans were roasting the preseason cast photos. And I've often said that the Bachelor franchise would probably be a lot more interesting if the contestants actually looked like they did in their cast photos and you had a more kind of a relatable, down-to-earth cast. But as it happens, they are wildly beautiful people who somehow have to be submitted to the worst photographer known to man, but who still somehow has a very plum gig. So props to whoever that is for that hustle.
I fear what us average people would look like if we ended up on that Bachelor website.
Oh, God. It's like one of those, like, awful Snapchat filters or something that just really drags everyone down collectively.
We're just all going to look like a driver's license.
Yeah, oh, for sure. But Jed, of all of them, from what I hear, actually made a fairly strong impression early on. So that people were skeptical about the guitar and everything like that. But there were some scenes early on, like when he walked in on Hannah and Luke P and seemed to handle that pretty well. Or when Hannah was just expressing her insecurities, but she wasn't sure if the guys could handle it. And he said something to the effect of, "I want to hear it, even if I don't like it." Just these things which, out of context, you would think, okay, those are green flags, if anything. Those are really good signs, signs of someone's emotional maturity and potential suitability as a partner. But as part of the total package, you know, those were heavily outweighed by everything else that came afterwards.
And not just that, like, he started being, at the beginning, it was, like, very open, honest dialogue. It seemed genuine. But then there was something that turned, and I know that there's some discussion about, like, did the show's editing change when the truth came out about the girlfriend? But it eventually became more of that. It wasn't that Jed was upset about Hannah choosing Luke because of, like Luke's behavior. It became a weird thing of, like, me versus him. And how can you be into me if you're into him? And I feel like I'm better than him. And it became very me, as opposed to Hannah.
Right. And I wonder if, I think by this point, she had already settled on one of Luke P and Jed. But when Jed was one of the people pushing hardest against Luke P, and then Luke P finally not showed his true colors, because I think those were somewhat evident from the outset, but Hannah P finally took off the rose-tinted glasses and saw the true colors. When she finally soured on Luke P, the fact that Jed had been pushing so hard and standing up for her against him endeared him to her even more in her eyes and really locked in that choice if it wasn't locked in already.
Yeah, I think she, and it's very common that they've had someone the whole time and maybe there's someone in mind as their winner and then somebody who's kind of like distracting them. And I guess it was Luke, but I wrote down, and I've believed this all season, that Hannah was never like in love with Luke. I think she was in lust with him. I think she was just very attracted to him and couldn't articulate her feelings of how she was actually feeling, which is that she just wanted to jump his bones and he was not down to that and would probably shame her about it down the line.
That seems like a somewhat common pattern of behavior for Hannah then, because we saw with Pilot Pete, who they end up you know, sleeping together in the windmill four times. And then after that, he understandably was not expecting to be unceremoniously dumped by Hannah at the next opportunity. But it seemed like there was some attempt, like some messy attempt to compartmentalize in her mind. Like, do I just feel a physical attraction for this person, or is there some deeper emotional attachment too? And I think that comes out to some extent with all of them, right? With Luke P, with Jed, even with Tyler to some degree. You see her kind of from the opposite direction, where you see her saying that he's the type of guy that you're happy to take home to your family, and she couldn't believe that a guy like Tyler would be interested in her. And yet it seemed like the physical connection was much less with him than it was with the others. And so trying to work out how much weight to assign to each of those components seemed to be pretty difficult for her.
Yeah, it was interesting. And then with Tyler, she was all, like you said, she was really like couldn't believe he would be interested in her, which is funny because I find Tyler very attractive, but then other times I see a photo and I go, eh, you're kind of ugly too. He's not perfect. And she stopped herself from sleeping with him in the fantasy suites, which I wonder, I guess there was some, she had hesitations about whether they were just like a physical and not mental connection, which is funny because I feel like they had the heaviest of the talks of anybody left.
Well, also possible that if she did bang Pete four times the night before, maybe just needed some time to recuperate.
A little tired.
Fully up to it. Yeah.
Did not expect that of Pete, of all people. I thought Tyler was a goner after that date, because four times in a windmill and you dump him, hit it and quit it. Felt bad.
Or it just wasn't that good, actually. And that's maybe
that's why he had to go four times. See, like,
She's just trying to make sure, you know, giving him a second chance, because that's the least charitable interpretation, right? Like, if you sleep with someone four consecutive times and they're over you, that's not a good reflection on you. That's not a testimonial that you can take to the bank.
No. And I also realized I literally know nothing about Peter. And when I wrote my notes down for him, it's like five things. And I put sex in a windmill two times, upgraded to four at the finale, and his parents were happy, that he's a religious pilot that's half Cuban and half German, and he was on Days of Our Lives. And then I looked him up on Days of Our Lives, and he played young Roman Brady in one episode, or maybe a couple, but yeah, he was a flashback Roman Brady. The worst character. I watched Days of Our Lives. Thank you.
Find someone who supports you the way that Pete's parents support his sexual prowess, even though as his parents, it's creepy for them more so than anyone else to actually do that. But how much do we really know about any of the contestants, honestly? Like with Pete, it's an especially bad case. I heard someone refer to him as like a computer mashup of 10 previous Bachelorette contestants.
Yeah.
Where he could just blend
all their faces.
Yeah, it was like he was just generated in a simulator or something. But we don't get a sense of his true personality. But then outside of Luke P and Jed and other people being enmeshed in scandal and revealing themselves to have terrible personalities, you could say that about basically anyone who was in the Bachelor house this season, and most seasons, frankly.
Oh, true. I do think we got to know Tyler a bit. We heard about, you know, Tyler's family life, kind of the ups and downs, his dad's sick. Like, there was a lot of Tyler, which is, again, common Bachelor trope. The runner-up is going to get the much better edit than the winner, because they're setting up the future as opposed to being invested in the present. And this time it changed a little because the present was messy as hell.
Right. And I know that Pete had his own scandal and intrigue along the way, with rumors of him being in a possible Jed-like situation where there was a girl at home who didn't know what their status was. And then there were lots of people that he was seeing, and the usual suspicion that people have of attractive pilots who, you know, have lots of things going on in several different cities at once. Do we know how well that was substantiated, or has he got off light because of everything surrounding Luke and Jed?
You know, I think he got off light, one, because he didn't win. And I think that the issue with Jed is that Hannah made a good point, which is like, I don't expect that these guys weren't dating for 6 months before going on the show. The issue with Jed in particular was he wasn't fully truthful about it, and that he slept with the woman the night before he left for the show. And that's the big one, I think, to me and to most. It's not uncommon that they leave there with girlfriends. It happens every year. And I think that they need to find some new ways to background check a bit better, to be honest.
And on top of that, telling her that he loves her repeatedly and going on these international vacations and all of the usual trappings of what you think would be a relationship. And then him turning around and saying, well, I never said it, but I broke up with her in my head. And of course, he should have been able to tell that we were never really in a relationship, which, you know, it's clearly him making a desperate attempt to backpedal after the fact. But what do you think can be done to vet these contestants better? Because it feels like now, increasingly, that job is being turned over to the lead in the moment with the very limited information that they have, and then hopefully to their friends and well-wishers and Bachelor Nation as a whole in the period between the season ending and it filming between the season filming and airing and then after the final rose and so on.
Well, I mean, social media stalk them a little better. I bet if you had gone on to Jed's Instagram and you went to that little tab of photos tagged of you, we could have found something, a little bit, a hint of something, or have some people that are more honest. I mean, I know they're not doing like the deepest checks, and they kind of have been using, I think the producers even admit it in an interview, kind of that like, oh, we float some names out in advance so that people can do our work for us. But we need more kind civilians to come forward and say, no, I saw this guy with a girl the night before.
And lots of them are coming forward and doing that. And props to those people, even when they're clearly just trying to cause drama themselves or bring some attention towards them, because they serve a valuable purpose. So thank you for your service, everyone. But I think this is, to some extent, an inevitable problem, given the way the show is set up and has to be set up, where you have this entire cast of people who are very conventionally attractive and desirable and within certain parameters can get any guy or any girl that they please, and most of them avail themselves fully of that opportunity, you know. And so it's not surprising then that some of them are going to have pretty loose ethics on top of that and then have lots of things going on at once.
Yeah, and honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if somebody did say something to producers early on and they're just like, yeah, sure. It's kind of like on Big Brother, like, yeah, they probably know they had arrest like records, but they're just like, yeah, don't worry about it, just put them on the show, don't worry. Just like I had to write down, I think one of the biggest manipulations of the whole season, not to jump around totally off, is Luke's return after being dumped. And like, what goes through your mind to know the level of how much the show is manipulating a situation? Like, Hannah handled it like a champ and took charge and kicked him out. But like, you can't just show up. And he showed up with cameras. Like, they were in on it. It's just so messed up. And I just wonder, what do you think in your head when you're the lead and you know that this is what they've done to you?
Yeah, it would be tremendously irresponsible of them to just let him in the building, first of all. But then when you know that the way that this is happening, it has to have been coordinated with them in some way, I would be furious. I don't know if I'd be willing to continue after that. And with it being this close to the end, I maybe you just go through the motions still. But you could tell that Hannah was shaken by that, and understandably so.
Yeah, and it's kind of like with Colton last year of everything, that where is the point where you snap and realize like fully like, oh, this is fake. This is what they're doing to me. And that's where it takes me out of the moment of like this trash show. And I really think of like what they're doing. And I think of, did you ever watch the show Unreal?
I did, yeah. The first two seasons, I think, before it really went off the rails.
Same. I think I might have watched three. And you kind of like, I imagine when something like this happens, do you not imagine that the character of Rachel, the producer, being like, I mean, if you love her, we should go back and get her. It's very bizarre when you really put yourself in the situation of making a TV show as opposed to I'm here to find love.
Yeah, and I have no sympathy for Luke over the situation, but the like, I could imagine in his mind just the refusal to hear the word no, or that sense of entitlement creeping in, and him of his own volition trying to make his way back onto the set or something. But the fact that they were using him and his inability to respect boundaries as just like a pawn or a piece in this wider narrative really doesn't sit well with me. Like, I think it goes understated in that wider debate over Luke P, just how much production at large was in on it and aiding and abetting it.
Do you want to hear my controversial long con theory? Is that,
yes,
I mean, I don't know if this is true. This is me, like, this is me being, you know, putting on my like conspiracy theory. I feel like producers made Hannah keep Luke around for longer than she wanted for drama for the show. That is my opinion. I don't think she was really ever that interested in him. I don't think he was ever necessarily the one after an early period, after getting all these red flags from the guys. I think he was kept around for drama.
Oh, all right then, because there is a camp who goes the other way and says that had Hannah not had this revelation about Luke very late, that he would have been the final one. He would have been the one that she chose, because if you're willing to keep him around for that long, even hearing everything else from everybody else about how terrible he is, then why would you change your mind now, right? Unless you had made your mind up on night one, as the Bachelorettes often do, or so I'm told, and you just decided, okay, it's Luke for me, and I'm not hearing anything to the contrary.
It's a good point. I think that we saw, based on a few other things, which is that Hannah doesn't listen to anybody else's opinions, even her family's.
Yeah, and I don't mind the family thing so much, because the families are often wrong, right? On both ends, both the Lee's family and the contestants' family. So I know that with Ashley and JP, for instance, like Ashley's family was against him, was against her picking him over Ben. And then with Andy and Josh, the family okayed Josh when they really should not have okayed Josh if they knew anything about him.
Yeah.
Or with Rachel's family too, like with Rachel, Brian's family were almost trying to like sabotage him, right? They really didn't seem enthusiastic or put their best foot forward. And yet, had she just gone based on that, then she wouldn't have reached the outcome that she was happy with. So the families are always an unreliable test, but I think it's one indication among many that keep piling up.
Right. Not that like everybody listens to their parents, but this one to me felt, in comparison to some of the others of the past, and maybe it's also knowing that we knew about the girlfriend, it felt a lot more like very serious, as opposed to some of the other ones where they're like, because a lot of times it ends with like a, well, if you're happy, I'm happy, and we'll take whatever you agree. But this one did not feel that way.
Yeah, both Jed's family and Hannah's family were not okay with the idea of Jed being involved in their new larger family. And you could tell when Hannah's father was quizzing Jed, some of it was based on these rather old-fashioned or contrived ideas, like you know Hannah was not working a stable job either, and she's not going to have to anymore because she has 2 million Instagram followers and just shill products on there with SponCon for the rest of her days. So you know they know how the game is played, they know what the deal is, and it's not incumbent on Jed any more than Hannah to hold up that side of the bargain. But at the same time, when Jed goes in there and is sheepishly confessing that his greatest achievement in this pursuit that he set his life towards is a dog food jingle, you can understand why he was a little skeptical about that.
Yeah, he said dog food jingle a lot. And I loved, so in preparation, because I fully admit on a couple of these episodes, because I was so like out of the Luke P show and I was just so bored of it, I would do other stuff during it. You know, I would type, I would do crafts, whatever, I would draw, I had on the background. And so I went back today and suffered my way through Jed's family visit and a bit of the Luke P shenanigans. And the Jed stuff was real uncomfortable. It was really bad. And just, they said that he couldn't, because his music is such his passion, that he can't hold down a full-time job. And I mean, granted, it's a fake television show, but on the show Nashville, they were all bartenders and they all, you know, had a shot. Like, you can make money some other way besides, you know, working at a bank or whatever.
Yeah, and a lot of the wannabe musicians who end up in those positions are heavily bankrolled by their families, or they have some other income coming in from something else. So it's not like they're going to end up on the streets if their music career doesn't pan out. But there is that conversation that has to be had eventually of, okay, if this isn't working, then at what point does it become a passion that you do as a side project versus something which you've tried and failed to make your career?
And I can't imagine, I mean, maybe give time and it will be fine, but for at least a while, we aren't embracing Jed. I saw a guy named Jed on Bumble, and it was immediately a left swipe. That's a dead name for a couple months.
I feel really bad for that guy, just getting the unfortunate blowback from The Bachelorette.
Change your name in the app for a few weeks. Just put a nickname, or like, honestly, if it said not that Jed, I'd probably feel better about it.
Or just Ed. Why not just lop the J off like everyone else does and have just a more normal conventional name? That's fine too.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there any other Lukes of any letter permanently banned now? Or is it just Luke P's?
I guess it's a Luke P. Luke is very Luke is a common name. Jed is, at least, I mean, where I'm from, Jed is not as common of a name, but apparently enough that one showed up like a day later. So maybe it is more popular than I thought.
And honestly, the record of reality TV Coltons is not a positive one. So you can swipe left on those too. Nope.
Yep. If we're going, Mikes are good, Peters are okay, every Tyler's getting a right swipe from anybody on an app right now. So, you know, there's people. And also, if you're a John Paul Jones, you're set for life. But there's only one and only John Paul Jones.
Yeah, I think if you set your Bumble name to John Paul Jones, people are going to see through that pretty quick.
I did almost, you said at the beginning, that I had qualities and wanted to thank you. And that was also what I was going to put in my dating profile, because I feel like that's basically what we're looking for. Someone with, you know, qualities.
Yeah, it's the highest compliment that anyone can really pay you. And also, you're, I imagine, looking for someone who can watch The Bachelorette and appreciate it. So it's a good way to weed out the people who don't belong.
That was Hannah's mom's greatest burn of them all. Hannah's parents, give them a show. Or have them show up maybe somewhere else. If she gets to be Bachelorette again, or if somebody else is like, have a date where Hannah's parents judge.
Yeah, see, this is why I love any and all family visits on basically any show, where I just want to know more about the families after the fact. We get this brief glimpse of these seemingly very strange, interesting, enigmatic people who have these brief iconic moments, and I just want more of them. And I'm sure I would get bored with more of them and demand a return to your regular programming before too long. But there's always just that curiosity that gets piqued every single time we have a family visit. It's just an automatic trigger for me.
I was going to say it would be good if we had family earlier, but then I remembered that we have done that in the past. And actually, poor Hannah B was the victim of that last season of meeting Colton's family very early and then got dumped that day. So maybe it's not a good thing to meet the family in advance, but I could see a way to incorporate maybe like a sibling showing up for one of those goofy challenges to get to know the guys, or if it's vice versa, the girls on the show.
We did bring up last time that if either the lead or the contestant has pets, that their judgment is maybe more reliable than anyone else's. Like if your dog doesn't like your prospective partner, then that's really never getting off the ground.
I was trying to pay attention when Jed's family had a dog, and that dog seemed way more into Hannah than it did Jed. And I think that is an accurate statement of everybody.
Yes. So I think that's just a good mission statement for life as well. You know, anyone who's on the dating scene and having trouble, that might be a useful thing to put into practice.
Next time there's a finale and it's like, who do I choose between? And you bring your dog and then just let the dog pick between the two for you.
Right. You have them just arrayed across the set and then you just let the dog wander towards whoever it has the best vibe from.
Yes, whatever it's vibing off of. Like, I think they did that in the movie Monkey Trouble. Where would the monkey go? Back to its creepy owner or the little girl who found it. And then they would like try to bribe him.
I'm sure there are Luke P's out there who could game the system by like stuffing their suit full of dog treats or something, but we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Yeah.
Ugh. Luke P and his meat. Where, I don't even remember where that came from. That's the only other guy I could remember is Jarrett. And I don't even have it. No, it's Garrett, not even Jarrett. I had nothing to say about that guy except, oh yeah, he went bungee jumping naked in quotes because I guess they were wearing underwear.
Yeah. So did you remember Devin before he announced his presence on the finale?
No.
Did anyone else remember Devin before that?
No, I felt like everyone was like trying for paradise and was like, I think they already went on the show, dude. So I'm sorry. Next year, maybe.
Yeah, it's an amazing automatic way to buy yourself some clout by attacking Luke P. It's the easiest setup job in the world. So, you know, Devin can bound onto the stage and issue some pointed but ultimately unoriginal criticisms of Luke P, and that regenerates his 15 minutes of fame and maybe puts him in the conversation for some like C-list opportunity down the line.
Or you could be the other one, and that's Mateo, who defended Luke P, to just say that, you know, enough's enough, guys, we've already piled on him, he's forgiven, he's already had to relive it.
Yeah, which I again have no sympathy for Luke P, but I see what Mateo was kind of getting at on a more generous interpretation, where it's like, okay, we've already said everything that has to be said. Clearly, this guy is not learning from his mistakes or isn't yet. And just reiterating that over and over again isn't going to help at all. So why bother, right? Why are we spending hours of an already far too long two-night finale experience on this waste of space?
Yeah, and I mean, I'll give this much, which is that at least Jed pretty much copped up to his mistakes the second time around. I don't think Luke has fully figured it out. I hope he gets some like clarity from this experience, and most importantly for whoever chooses to be in a relationship with him, because for right now I'm a little afraid of what it could be. He needs to grow up and become a little more open-minded. I mean, a lot more open-minded.
It's scary enough seeing Luke on the show, but it's even scarier seeing the legions of fans and defenders that he has on the Facebook comments, Instagram comments, and so on, for whom, you know, Luke P is their ideal partner. He's their prince, their knight in shining armor, their match made in heaven.
And everyone's allowed to have their own beliefs and that kind of thing. And, you know, sanctity of marriage for sex, that's totally fine. It's the way he went about asking. And essentially what I found, what happened with Luke, is that I didn't feel that when Luke asked if she had slept with any in the fantasy suites, it had anything to do with religion and his beliefs. It felt like a possessive nature of somebody who felt he'd already won the show, had his prize, and nobody else could have it. To me, it felt like control.
And the whole born again thing already gets my hackles up a little bit. I'm always on edge about that, because it feels very convenient for someone like Luke P to have his fun in a very unchristian way. I think Luke P has sinned enough for anyone in his lifetime, and then to turn around and try and hold the moral high ground over people because he's had this sudden shower time conversion.
Meanwhile, I have my best thoughts walking to and from the bathroom or down a hallway, but I don't go shouting from the rooftops about it all the time. He was just a little too preachy to everybody about everything, and that he was better than them. And he's not. He's no better than anybody.
Or, yeah, really anybody at all, actually.
Yeah, flat out,
but
no
with one. So you said that you don't think that Luke was on course to win the show before the scales dropped from Hannah's eyes. Did you think that Jed was? Who do you think was her favorite from the beginning then?
Okay. So early on, I do like, is it possible now they've kind of brought up? Yeah, I can see that maybe it was, but she liked Jed from early on. Jed got one of the early one-on-one dates, and it kind of went from there. And again, like I said, I had bad vibes. He kept sticking around. Here's where I fully figured out that, yes, she picked Jed. When the girlfriend controversy came up and there was no statement made whatsoever about it. And because last time when Becca had the thing with Garrett and they found all those offensive Instagram likes by Garrett, Becca came out and made a tweet, and it was very clear from like week one, this is the inevitable ending. When there was nothing said about Jed, I figured he has won, and they are figuring out the cover story for what's going to be said after the final rose. So then at that point I turned, but I always felt like she was into Jed a lot for what reasons. I have no idea. His jean jacket, his protruding forehead, that dumb guitar that goes everywhere he walks.
Yeah, so going back to that vetting conversation that we had before, I imagine there are lots of Jeds or wannabe Jeds on every season, but because they go home in week four, they get to keep their cover story intact and no one really investigates them any further. But when someone makes it that far in the show and all the spoilers and all the signs are suggesting they are actually the final one, then you have to dig a little deeper. And so, yeah, if this stuff comes out about Jed, but he doesn't make it past week five in the show, then who really cares, right? But if, you know, if it's important enough that you have to go into this, like, quick panic over it, then that suggests that he does make it at least far enough that this is going to be a problem.
And I think he had a point that he didn't think he was going to, as he would say, win. We can say win. He can't say that. You're right. Not supposed to say that if you actually win the show. That's a plebe term.
Hannah gets to say it if she feels happy in her pick. You don't get to say that on her behalf, especially after what you did to her.
Yeah, and it's like, oh, like, I don't, there's probably a way to say it, which is, you know, like, I don't know how, she can say it, he can't. He's awful, he's trash. And like, he could have said something earlier, just like lightly, like, hey, I was dating somebody before. But instead, it sounded like he had mentioned he'd been in long-term relationships before. But he waited conveniently until after he won to even say anything. It's gross. He knew it would get him kicked off, and it was manipulative for him to not state it earlier in advance.
But he clearly is someone who has never really had to account for his own behavior ever, I would say, and just gets away with everything and is surrounded by enablers. And regardless of how badly he treats people, he still has women flocking to him. He still has his bros bigging him up and talking about how great he is. So why would he ever change as he sees it? You know, it works for him. And until he gets some much harsher lessons, I don't think anything's going to change there either.
Right. Because the girlfriend that he was seeing gave him permission to go on the show. She didn't fully understand it, but understood it was good for his career.
I mean,
and my guess is his background checks people too, whoever he put like as his references. Probably if they ask a question like, are they seeing somebody, would corroborate the story because they're there to help his career.
And it's not like he's going on The Voice. He's going on a dating show, or what is marketed as a dating show. So I don't know. And she said that she had seen a season before, I believe. So she knows what the premise is. She knows what all this is about.
It's the biggest show. It's been on for 17, 18 years. Also, he can't be on The Voice because his voice is awful.
You're not a fan of that jingle then?
I mean, no. I don't even remember what brand it was. So obviously it failed in execution. He was boring. He can't sing. I mean, maybe the lyrics were mediocre because I did call my dog Mr. Right Girl. And I sing worse than Jed. So just think of it that way. But yeah, no, can't sing. No voice.
Well, either way, I feel like the red flags were there for Haley too, although she obviously is one of the aggrieved parties in all of this and has come out of it pretty well, I would say. And it seems like her and Hannah have developed this solidarity over the shared experience of being screwed over by Jed.
Oh, here's an idea for Jed. Here's how we're going to save Jed. We're going to put him on The Masked Singer, and then people can determine if he can sing. And then when he wins, they'll be like, oh, this is Jed the whole time.
Or not, as the case may be.
The monster times two.
I admire your optimism, at least. I'm glad that Jed has someone else in his corner.
I mean, there are people who are probably totally fine with it and okay with what he did and have supporters, but it did seem like in comparison to what he should have for social media followers for being a winner, he's pretty low. I forget what it was, but Tyler's got over 1 million. Tyler.
Ali Fedotowsky seems to be one of those supporters too. I don't know if you've listened to any of that new podcast with Rachel, but Rachel at least is giving Jed a proper loyally grilling, whereas Ali is just like gushing over how much she loves him, which maybe she's his rebound. I don't know.
Oh my God. Oh, Ali. I just looked at her. She doesn't have as many followers as one would think for being like a television personality.
No, although Hannah B is, I believe, over 2 million now.
Yeah, I'm on Tyler right now, 1.9. And we've got Alabama Hannah, 2.1. They're going to make so much money on HelloFresh boxes. It's insane.
Oh, God. Yeah. Hannah is never going to need any man to support her ever again. Thank you, Mr. Brown.
Have you ever bought a product from an Instagram-sponsored reality show personalities post?
Not knowingly, but it's definitely possible. It just like subtly incepted the idea into my head, and I'm just a slave to capitalism.
That's what I'm thinking. I did see Jade and Carly trying to sell a FabFitFun box, and they're like, and you can customize it. And I was like, maybe I'll try it.
Do you think people's love affair with Tyler will endure when he starts shilling just really mediocre, average quality products?
Hot take. I feel like Tyler is a good person in comparison to what the show is. And I feel like he might not do that. I feel like he might have some like groundwork because he's been like, I followed Tyler a few like weeks ago. He does a lot of like charity work in his business and it's empowering. I don't know if he would do it. I mean, he'll do one here or there. His love will still endure because it will just like, he'll suddenly wear a pair of eyeglasses and you're like, how great. And he's like, they're Diff eyewear. Bye now.
Well, just to finish up on Jed then, in some ways is Jed making it this far in the process almost scarier than Luke P making it that far? Because with Luke P, the red flags were there from the outset, and although Hannah was blinded by them, most people weren't. Most people were screaming at their TV, yelling at Hannah to ditch that asshole as fast as possible, whereas Jed, you know, it seems like Jed's brand of charm, that whole musician thing, that does actually do it for a lot of people, and it's easy to imagine lots of them being suckered in by a Jed and not seeing the warning signs of a Jed versus hopefully seeing a Luke P and running for the hills as fast as possible.
Yeah, it was a really like undercover manipulative thing and just kind of being enchanted by them. In my Bachelor franchise historian mindset, I don't know if you watched way back in the day when Jillian was the Bachelorette and Jillian picked Ed. Ed had actually physically left the show, went back home to Chicago because I can't remember if he wasn't into her, so my history is a little loose. But whatever it was, Reality Steve had leaked that Ed went home, hooked up with a girl that was like emails, text, or whatever at the time. And then he came back and got back with Jillian and then just like went along with it. And eventually, like, it came out, it was drama, but they dated a while. But it's not unheard of, and it's actually gross to see these people use their charisma to cover up the truth to get ahead.
Right, and with Luke P, it's hard to see what that brand of charisma is, but Jed, you kind of begrudgingly admit, is charismatic in a weird way. Not one that you might be attracted to yourself personally, but you can see why someone would be sucked in by that. And, you know, we all know that particular brand of fuckboy who, like, knows how to do and say all the right things for just the right moment to make you drop your guard, and then, you know, it's too late by then.
Listen, he's Mr. Right, girl.
Yeah, of course.
God. And I will say, I could argue, I could see at times where Hannah would be charmed by Luke P, because he looked at times like a happy dog with nothing, with no lights on behind the eyes, just like glassy, smiling face, like a dog excited to please its owner.
And this maybe goes back as well to Hannah thinking that none of them really were there for the right reasons. So when she sees a Luke who, for better or for worse, does stand out from the crowd and who does seem to have this particular energy about him, at least that is something which to her is worth investigating more so than just yet another bland-ish and surely nice guy, but not one who really jumps out from the crowd for any reason.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a very solid point. Oh, and I need to say one thing about Jed. Jed got the Boston date. I don't know if any of the viewers or listeners know. I am from the Boston area.
We couldn't tell, Mel.
Couldn't. I don't have that thick of an accent. It slips out here and there. And that date sucked. I felt that Massachusetts was underrepresented. I felt like they did go to Cheers. I'll give them that. Cheers is my favorite running gag of where I want to take people. I've only been to Cheers 2 times ever. But it was such a bad date. And then of all people to get it, the shittiest person on the season got it. Ugh, it's just a letdown. Let me plan their Boston area date next time. That's what I would say.
Okay, so if you were doing that, and quick hits here, we don't need to spend 20 minutes planning the perfect Boston excursion, but where would you either take people or recommend that someone else take their date?
Are we doing it like Bachelor franchise or like an actual average human being?
Up to you, bit of both.
I'm gonna make up a fake Bachelor date because I was thinking about this a little bit. They go on the Freedom Trail and they're guided by two of the people dressed as like old timey town criers and stuff, but it's a man and a woman. And then they bring up the casual conversation of that they got married in a week so that they could bring that conversation out on the date about how fast they got married and that it's okay to find love in a very short time reality show. Then they go to Cheers.
Sure.
Because you got to. And yes. Then they take a romantic swan boat around the park. And then they go get ice cream somewhere that isn't a Halo Top vendor hanging out by a shuttered up Earl of Sandwich. I was so upset. I did not realize that they were shooting in Boston that day. I walk by that spot every single day. And if I were at work that day, other than working from home, I would have walked by that date on the way home for sure. And I'm so upset to this day. So I could have kind of shouted or like booed or whatever.
Maybe it's just me not being American and therefore not understanding freedom properly. But the Freedom Trail never really captivated me when I went there.
Oh, no, it's it makes no sense. It's actually like a terrible thing to do. It's really not that fun. But in the sense of a bachelor date, or maybe they go whale watching. But if you don't see any whales, I think they guarantee it, but like if you don't, then it's a real waste of like 3 hours at sea.
Yeah, that seems a little hit or miss to me, especially for The Bachelor, where you really do need to make them see some whales, you know? And if there aren't any there, just get some shipped in so we can guarantee it.
Yeah, send them to the aquarium and they can go see the sea lions out front and it's free, you know?
Yes. The aquarium, I would definitely recommend, having been there before. But in any case, let's move swiftly on from Jed, leave him in the past, and I guess go back to Luke P, because I don't think they're two sides of the same coin necessarily, but both of them were negative influences on the season and on Hannah. So what do you think the crucial differences are, and what did you make of the whole Luke P saga overall?
I mean, I wrote trash is the top of my notes, first line. The issue with him was that he was a more upfront and easily caught manipulative liar. And like just circularly talked around the issues, turned everything against people. he was just not good at it versus Jed, who could cover up his lies and deceit.
Okay. And why do you think, outside of just being in lust with him, Hannah was drawn to Luke P over and above everyone else?
I could say he's objectively good looking. I don't find him attractive, but I can see what would be considered attractive about him. He's in good shape, blonde, blue eyed, you know, good old boy. The religious values definitely factored into it, because it's hard to find that when that's something that's sort of to your core. And like I said, he looked like a dog that was happy to see its owner. So who isn't going to light up when somebody looks at you that way? And there's, you know, 30 other guys just kind of meandering around and broing out and whatever.
I imagine as well that Luke P resembles the kind of guys that Hannah has had relationships with in the past, more so than maybe some of the others do. And that could be taken as a warning sign, but for her, she seemed to find a level of comfort in that.
Yes. Right?
And this idea of love that she seems to have, and it's always feels weird to like psychoanalyze the leads from the comfort of our homes, but it's hard not to at the same time, right? It feels like Hannah B really wants to be in a relationship, first of all, but also she has this idea of love where it's meant to be hard. It's meant to involve like these very passionate fights and struggles, and then these periods of like very intense love afterwards, and there should be highs and lows, and it's meant to be this whole thing that's going on. And Luke P seems to fit into that mold more so than like a Mike would, for instance, or a Tyler, or any of the other guys who objectively speaking might be better relationship material.
And they're kind of those other guys who are a little more like worldly, they've been around, and Lucas still seems very sheltered and, like you said, comfortable. And I think in Hannah's mindset too, just knowing like the way a little bit of the South, you know, she's probably considers herself 24 and single as like over the hill, because it's such a different lifestyle in the South. I mean, I would watch that show Say Yes to the Dress Atlanta, and they'd come in and they're all like 21-year-old brides. It's crazy. So I think she wants to be at that point in her life already, because so many of her friends probably have already done that and probably already have kids.
Yeah, and that makes it all the more tragic in a way that Hannah B is going to come out of this experience, at least for now, not with anyone that she can get engaged and then marry to. But it feels like that was her priority going in. It's, I need to be engaged by the end of this, even if with the crop of guys that I have, it's probably not the best choice for me by the end.
Yeah, and now I think what I feel most horrible for her is that I think she'll be okay, and I think that she's putting up a good front, but she's very scarred from this, probably, with, you know, being betrayed by somebody who was supposed to be, like, she gave that whole speech about that, like, I think God told me, like, there'd be this person for me, and that I would dream about him, and it was you, and suddenly, you know, the dream's over, and it's this shithead guy who deceived you.
Right. I've seen some people say that, in a way, it's still a success for Hannah, because she's had the whole accelerated version of dating in your early 20s, where maybe you make some bad choices and you learn from them, and then that cycle repeats anew. But she's had all of that just compressed into this very short space of time on national TV. So it's a very different experience for her, but hopefully now, at the age of 24, which is definitely not part of prime, or at least I really hope it isn't, but she at least has the time now, having learned all of those lessons in short succession, to find someone who is right for her and who hopefully she is right for too.
If you had told me at the beginning of the season that Hannah was 24, I would say, yeah, she's young. And by the end of the season, I felt like she was a much more mature woman that came off far beyond the 24 she was, because she went through so much, be it with Luke. I think she really found, her own voice in this process, that maybe she didn't find the love that she was hoping for, but I think she found this new person within her, like this strong, empowered female that she didn't know that she fully had.
Yeah, we heard that a lot from Hannah, almost as like a self-affirmation over the course of the season. But I'm not sure what type of strength she's really comparing herself to, or like what that comparison means in relation to others. So you could look at like Andy, for instance, who was definitely strong and headstrong, but maybe to a fault, where she wasn't able to either criticize herself or accept input from other people, and ended up picking someone who was not right for her or for anybody. Or you could compare her to someone like Rachel, who came in with a very clear idea of what she wanted for herself and what the ideal partner should look like, and how that relationship was meant to look. And so, you know, she ends up like using the fantasy suites to talk about credit scores and stuff like that. Was like the big thing that was always associated with Rachel. But those are different types of strength. And I think like the Rachel model, to me at least, is more convincing as like a final state of being than Hannah's would be, who seems like she's still very much working things out for herself.
Yeah, it's just like she had a coming of age experience, as opposed to Rachel is already, Rachel's a little bit old. Was Rachel like in her early 30s, maybe a little bit older?
I want to say so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like 29 or something.
Yeah. And like a seasoned career, had been around, done all this stuff. And that Hannah's just this young girl who, you know, she's the pageant girl, and she was, you know, stuttering her first appearance. And then I think it's just her growing as a stronger person than necessarily. I'm not saying she's this huge like feminist icon or anything, but, you know, just to see somebody, like I said, I really thought at the end of this season that we would come to that reunion and the news of the girlfriend would have come out and she would forgive him and they would cover it up for a couple of months. And they would be together for like 2 months and then they would say it fell apart. I really expected a cover up. So to see that she handed him that ring back, that she broke up with him, that she's not, you know, anymore wallowing in her grief at home. Like, it was good to see, because I expected less of her, which sounds terrible to say.
Yeah. And it's good to see her start that journey and get a fair bit of the way through it. But I think that had a big impact on the season as a whole, where if you have a Rachel who comes in and has that radar more finely tuned, and they see a Luke P who is just bad news on every level, they're out the door in week two, and then the season isn't consumed by the Luke P drama, but at the same time, we never get Hannah ranting at Luke P in the rain and dismissing him, which was a great moment, or her like moving the podium when he showed back up again, which people just fell in love with that too. So it's this perverse incentive that's baked into the show where you almost don't want the lead to be this self-actualized, functional human being yet. You want them to make these mistakes and have these flaws and to, you know, keep these people around who are bad for them but good for TV.
I think that's it. Hannah was very flawed, and I think that's what made her very relatable compared to some of the other bachelorettes. She was young, flawed, just kind of having fun, didn't expect to be the bachelorette. Or maybe she did, you know, they all talked about it. But she was just sort of very relatable. She was fun. She was a little anxious, a little dorky, as she would say. She kept saying she was goofy, as they all kept saying to her that she's so goofy. But she wasn't. She had a good time.
Yeah, and I think we all want her to have a good time, at least. But do you think, you know, Hannah is there for the right reasons. We know that. But did she learn the right lessons from this process? Because she knows that specifically Luke P and Jed are not to be messed with again. But if there are like more Luke P's or more Jed in the future, does she know the warning signs that she's going to be able to avoid them before getting too entangled?
I mean, I'd like to hope so. It seems like she's a little more, no, a lot more aware now. And the fact that she had the strength, because like she said, that the way Jed treated her is not the first time that she's had an incident like this. To an extent. So I do think that she can get past this, and hopefully in the future, these red flags will come out earlier and she'll step away. Now, that said, if she's lucky, she doesn't have to go through that again, because maybe she's rekindling things with Tyler, which is not uncommon. Well, I mean, it's not like rare anymore. Like, it happens more that, you know, things don't work out and you've got somebody who is very close to being the other person, then you can find love with them again, maybe, question mark.
Yeah, we will get to Tyler, don't worry. Although I do like the idea of, just as a bit, having a whole Bachelorette podcast about the season without ever mentioning Tyler, just to get those expectations up and then dash them cruelly.
So mad.
Yeah, although I welcome that. I like being the villain, Mel. I like being the, not the Luke P or the Jed, but it's nice to have that attention. Yeah, like, but anyway.
You're like maybe Garrett, like an in-between villain.
Yeah, I'm like a chaotic neutral villain.
Yeah.
But do you think that Hannah B in her current state is a good partner for other people? Because we're inclined to take the lead side almost and to see things through their eyes. And naturally that breeds a kind of sympathy for them that, you know, we want to see Hannah B find her perfect partner. But there has to be two-sided too. She has to be a good partner for them. And I do worry that based on what we've seen on the season, I'm not convinced that she would be able to handle conflict that well, or handle these personality clashes, because we saw several times when the other guys would question her about Luke P or about something else that was happening, and every time she would just kind of bristle at that and withdraw and not really engage with it, at least on air from what we saw. And I would worry that, you know, in the early phase of a relationship, when everything, you know, when you're both just madly in love, then that's fine. But when it gets down to the more difficult things or you start arguing, I don't know if that kind of routine stuff is right for her yet.
I think that given what went down, while it is great to see Hannah and Tyler perhaps getting together on the side, it would probably be better for her to kind of live out this single life that she had now that she's kind of this newfound woman power kind of thing going on, and just kind of embrace it, take her time, which I think is kind of what came out of it. I wouldn't be surprised if she went and banged Peter another time, because why not? But he's probably going to be the Bachelor, so who knows?
Possibly, yeah. But I think that is a crucial point, that now that she's had this well-rinned relationship experience, it might be better for her to just have that newfound single experience too, knowing that she doesn't need a man to be happy, that she can, you know, she doesn't need to have suffer that pressure from her family or people around her to get hitched at the, you know, at 2 or 3 years ago, ideally, that she can just be this happy single person. And then when the right one does come along, she'll be in a better frame of mind to recognize that and have it proceed at her own pace.
Yeah, and I hope that's what she got out of this show, if anything, other than, you know, having the wrong taste and being manipulated by both men that she was interested in, and also manipulated by production to an extent. But I think actually she kind of saw through a lot of their bullshit more than maybe the average ones.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's fair for the other guys to question the way they did how committed Hannah was to them versus Luke P? Where if the entire house is saying one thing about Luke P, and yet Luke P is still there, that seems like a pretty clear choice in terms of who she believes and who she doesn't, and who she likes more versus who she doesn't. And for as much as the optics are kind of bad to be haranguing Hannah about keeping someone in the process, at the same time, it is a competition, right? Where only one person, in theory, can win. And therefore, like, you have to start questioning what Hannah's tastes are and whether you fit into those if you see yourself as so different from Luke P, and yet Luke P is still in this process with you.
Yeah, I think maybe what happened with Luke P a bit too is for some of them who, you know, fell by the wayside due to the way of bringing up Luke P, is to bring it up sort of in just like a better way to understand maybe what, not like, why are you attracted to Luke P? But like, you know, Luke P and I are very different people. What do you see differently between both of us, to understand maybe where each of you fills a different gap that like you might not see an overlap, or that she does see it. And then maybe then figure out like that Luke was a liar. But, you know, they just all went about it the wrong way. They just all get into fights and throw meats in faces and scream instead of just tactfully discussing it in another way. But also that would be boring television, so throw meat away.
Yeah, you mentioned as well that Hannah is relatable to a lot of people, and maybe she's more relatable than a lot of the other leads have been, or at least if some of the other leads who do seem to have their shit together more are people to aspire to, maybe, whereas Hannah, maybe you don't aspire to, but you see yourself in her, or you see some of your own struggles in what she's going through on the show. And it feels like this season, among Bachelor Nation, among the people on Twitter and Reddit and so on, there's more of an element of Hannah representing something larger, or you seeing your own experiences in her. And there's always that aspect of putting yourself in the lead shoes, and if they pick this person but you would have picked someone else, then what does that say about them or about you and so on. But for Hannah, it feels like it's almost like a religious conflict. It's if you know, you have the people out there who think, of course Hannah should have picked Luke P, they were perfect for each other. Or you have the deniers out there who still cling to the idea that Jed is what he claims to be. Versus on the other hand, you have everyone saying that, like, Tyler is this just messiah figure who is completely flawless and can do no wrong. And how could she not, or how could anyone not pick Tyler as their ultimate life partner? And I'm sure Peter has his fans out there as well. But there's a lot of, from what I've seen, a lot of people saying, like, every one of us has had a Jed or a Luke P, or we've all passed up a Tyler, or we all want a Tyler, or there's some larger parable here about modern dating or modern womanhood or something, more so than like, oh, I'm watching Becca's season of The Bachelorette. That's cool, I guess. It seems like there are higher stakes here for some reason.
Yeah, and there's some people that are more relatable than others. I think that where maybe Becca was relatable, but then was quickly lost because of Garrett's kind of shenanigans. But Becca had this relatability of that, like, being thinking that you're the one and then you're not, you actually aren't, and that somebody picks another person instead. So kind of like being scorned and being feeling second best was kind of the Becca thing. Hannah's was, it was like reminiscent of like, you always kind of chase after somebody who is maybe not who your friends like or your family like, and you just kind of ignore those signs because you're following your heart and your gut. And that's what's hard to tell on TV, is like, how are you feeling in the moment? And like, yes, we see it and we're like, he seems dead behind the eyes and he's boring, but we're not seeing everything. You know, we're seeing something concocted for television. And just like, sometimes boring people are gonna get picked. And it's crazy to think that sometimes us catches out there get overlooked, but you know, that's what happens. And like, Tyler's gonna be the best one because we are seeing what we want in a person, but that's not necessarily what Hannah wants in a person.
What do you think the verdict is going to be on Hannah a year or 2 years down the line, when things have settled down a bit and we have a better idea of who she does end up with or how long that lasts, and we're on to a new cast and a new lead and so on? How will history remember her, do you think?
I think Hannah will be the bachelorette who made it a little more acceptable to discuss sex and what dating is more like, because it has been brought up before. We know what fantasy suites are. People have had sex on the show before, but the show has always sort of chastised it or brushed under the rug or made it more of a negative scandal, whereas this season it turned into this very empowering thing that it's okay. It's not something that's a roadblock. It's something that's like an exciting development and it's fun. So I can see that the show will evolve maybe a little bit to be a little less of this cutesy romance and maybe more of like these kind of fun actual things that happen. That said, this show always says it's going to grow, and then it just kind of retreats back to its old standards. So we'll see.
All right. So with that all said and done, let's move on to the big story here, which does seem to be the one and only Tyler Cameron, who I imagine at the time of recording this has already crossed the 2 million mark and is in the ascendant still. You know, he has a lot of momentum among the fan base. There are lots of people out there who are wishing they could marry him right now if they could. You know, they would call the officiator or whatever and get it done right away. What is it about Tyler that you think has captivated so many people, more so than maybe any other male contestant in the history of the franchise?
Well, guys always sort of defend the lead to an extent, but there was something that Tyler did that it just felt a little more like woke, so to say. It felt like Tyler was kind of this modern supporter of women and women's choices, more than you've kind of seen on the show. Does that make sense?
Sure. I was in and out for the early half of the season, so I didn't really have a clear impression of Tyler until I caught up to the point where everyone was already madly in love with him, and so maybe that colored my expectations a bit, just seeing this guy on the screen, not having the context, but knowing that he was already, you know, the most popular contestant the show had ever seen.
He was very like, he's a good-looking model guy rocking a salmon blazer, but then he had opened up about his family and that sort of the rough road he had in life, that it's not just plain and easy. And kind of talking about that, those Florida roots he has, even though I think he lives in New York City, but you know, as they all do,
well,
they're
never where
they're from.
Increasingly sighted in LA nowadays, from what I hear.
Yeah, I mean, aren't they all? That's number one. I mean, like Hannah said, we've talked about a bunch of times, no one's really there for the right reasons. He was probably nominated for the show. Why not? We'll see what it does. I'll have fun. I'll get some exposure. He just seemed like an overall good guy. And when I see his social media where he's doing all this good work with like charity and all this kind of stuff, like it makes you feel good, like that there can be good in some of these shows. Kind of like, well, did you watch any Love Island? Not to digress into a whole other orbit, but like kind of like Camilla, who's making the world a better place from their experience on this show.
I will never tell you not to talk about Love Island, but I feel like if I let you talk about Love Island, this is going to go on for 5 hours. So I'm
yeah, that's a different podcast.
Put my foot down and
a big Love Island roundtable.
A different series of Love Island podcasts, a whole different empire of Love Island podcasts, perhaps. But with going back to Tyler, then, do you think that's a case of, like, he is actually notably different from both Bachelorette contestants as a whole and then also people in the wider dating scene? Or is it that once the fan base decided they were already madly in love with Tyler, then you get that thing that you get in the early phase of any, like, crush or relationship where everything they do just seems that much more, like, positive and a reason for justifying your own attraction to them?
Yeah, and also, I mean, it's also, when you think about it, on The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, it's a sliding scale of, like, in comparison to these other people. And to me, he just felt more genuine than some of the others. I actually, compared to others, I'm not a big Peter fan. I always had a weird vibe about Peter. I also found it very weird that whenever he kissed Hannah, he would push her down on a table or against a wall or on top of a sauna bench. There was something odd about it versus Tyler just felt like he wasn't trying too hard and he was just kind of enjoying the moment and it happened and it happened. It was natural. He's a good looking guy that you wouldn't expect to have anything going on in that, like, brain of his, but he actually was, and he was smart and kind, which doesn't happen much on these shows.
It's almost like they're taking a stereotype that's negative, where if you're good looking, then you can't also have things going on upstairs, and then, like, flipping it around to a positive where, because he just has a basic amount going on, therefore he clears that bar that we've pushed down into the ground, and therefore he's even better than we thought he was. And isn't he so perfect and amazing?
Listen, these are casts of duds. They are people.
I'm not defending.
Like, yeah, but that's
I'm not
going, like,
to defend the
it's
Bachelorette.
It's really
like
best of the worst. It's just like, who do we like amongst this crop of 30 turds? And there are a few good ones every once in a while that we don't severely hate. And then, you know, that's why I've said I actually don't want Tyler to be Bachelor. I don't want Tyler on Bachelor in Paradise, because, like, once you get past that initial thing, we'll hate you. You will come back, like, we all loved Blake, and when we see previews for Paradise and we're like, maybe we don't like Blake anymore. Let him be the shining vision in our lights, in our brains forever of perfection, and don't mess with it.
Clarify for me with that example, and this will show my level of engagement with the franchise. Is this Holly's Blake from way back when, or is this a new Blake who has won people's hearts? Okay,
Becca's Blake. That was
very confusing for me for a long time.
Oh no, I don't think they're dipping his back that far back, but that would be pretty sweet. Did she marry that Blake? Wait, who did she marry? Did she marry a Blake?
I'm pretty sure she ended up. I think she ended up marrying that Blake, but I mean, the way these things go, they've probably been broken up for years now.
Yeah, right? Who knows? I can't keep track of them. I think they are considered, like, I think they were, like, the only success of our beloved Bachelor Pad. Rest in
peace. Bachelor Pad just existing was a success, if you ask me. We don't need any actual relationships to come out of it.
For 3 years, and it ended in perfection, and we don't need to ever resurface it. Let it be.
Right. I mean, it's almost, I'm glad that it ended when it did, because how can you top that season 3 ending, honestly? Like, how could any show of any kind hope to top that season 3 ending?
Never.
Just, yeah, absolute perfection there. But the Tyler thing, I've seen a lot of people presenting it as, it's not just that Tyler's a catch in comparison to the usual pool of Bachelorette contestants. It's, Tyler is the perfect man, the best thing I've ever seen. I would ditch my husband right now if I could go and marry Tyler, as if he's like this just like platonic ideal of the perfect man, which to me seems like a combination of, like, projection and wishful thinking, and again, setting the bar so unbelievably low that him just gently strolling over it has people going weak at the knees.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's projection. Cause, like, I like Tyler, but I also don't think, on top of me not wanting to be the Bachelor because I think he should just let his perfection reign as is, I don't think he's the most charismatic human being that could lead a show. I don't think he's oozing personality. I think he has a okay one, but I don't think he's the guy that's going to have you rolling on the floor laughing or anything.
And that's why when people say, how could Hannah be so stupid as to let Tyler go? He's the perfect man. He may be the perfect man for you and seemingly for everyone else who watches The Bachelorette. But if Hannah is just not feeling it with Tyler, then is she meant to just get engaged because that's what peer pressure would have her do? Like, that's the age-old dilemma of the show, and I guess of relationships in general, right?
It's right.
If someone can be objectively a catch and attractive and a good person or whatever, but if you just are not feeling that spark with them, then what are you meant to do about that?
Yeah, and I mean, she just chose with what was there, and I don't know we just don't, we'll never really understand how she felt around Jed in that, like, and maybe what she kind of said was that she was falling in love with Tyler, but she was already in love with Jed, and it sounded like she had been for a long time. She even said it once, because now the show's a little more open about saying, like the lead verbalizing their feelings earlier, which also was sort of a giveaway.
Right. So did you get the sense that there was something really clicking between the two of them over the course of the season, or was it that he was always going to make it to the final episode of The Bachelor, but then if he wasn't the right person for the lead, then he would just get cut and the actual person would emerge instead?
I feel like for a while I felt it was going to be Jed. I don't know why. It might be, again, that instinct of, I don't really like this person, so they're probably going to win. But there was something that she liked about Jed and she couldn't articulate it. I guess he had to be there. That's what I said. That's the tagline of the show. Like, in some way, you just feel like you had to be there because no one's going to know.
Yeah. And Tyler, I don't have a bad word to say about him based on what I've seen and heard. Like, there's no criticism to be leveled. It's just that maybe I'm being way too optimistic here, but the things that people praise Tyler for doing, it feels like a lot of people would or should do, but maybe not a lot of people who would make it onto The Bachelor. And that's where the disconnect is.
Exactly. You wouldn't think that this good looking model guy would be interested in, well, I love how Hannah's like, how can you be interested in me? Well, because you're beautiful, Hannah. Like, come on.
Yeah, Hannah is, for as much as Hannah's relatable, she is also like a Miss America contestant as well. Like, she's no slouch in that department.
She's beautiful. She has a personality. She's, you know, that's why they picked her to lead the show, because they felt like she could do it because she had personality compared to, that's my thing, is a lot of times the bachelors are duds and the bachelorettes are real catches. That's how I always feel, personality wise. But like, Tyler just verbalized things that we didn't expect him to, you know, he shared his feelings. He had his heart on his sleeve. It was unexpected. And he was sort of their probably unexpected hero. I don't think they thought he would be, you know, would become their beloved character of the season. I don't think they necessarily thought like, oh, you know, who's going to pop the most is Tyler and Mike.
Right. And Mike maybe as well in contention for being the next Bachelor, which I'm sure we'll get onto in due course. But yeah, if you like Tyler because he looks like a supermodel, then feel free to say you like Tyler because he looks like a supermodel. Like, there's no shame in that. I mean, he's a model for a reason. But if it's he looks like a model and does the bare minimum, well, lots of people can do the bare minimum. But, you know, I guess it's a nice plus when you've already decided that you like Tyler because, once again, he looks like a model, right?
I mean, he is a model, is he? I don't even know fully.
Well, yes, I don't want to take away from his career, Mel, but it would not surprise me if he is a bona fide, verified model.
I'm going through my tweets to see if I've said anything deep about Tyler. The answer is no. I'm getting a lot of tweets about Big Brother. But I did say, yeah, I only talked about Tyler 4 days ago. It was the first time I talked about him. I did say, though, that this is my feeling of him, is that I felt, given the emotions he had and like how he was like really cool about stuff, I said that he's the kind of guy that when that relationship drama, when like the Jed's girlfriend news leaked, I bet he sent a message to Hannah to be like, hey, I hope you're doing okay. Like, he's just, he seems like a good guy. He doesn't seem like a scumbag.
And not just sliding into the DMs either, but just actually sincerely wanting Hannah to be okay and checking in to make sure that she is.
Versus, I mean, right, maybe Peter slid in and maybe a little, maybe number five, you know.
Right. Yes. While also starting into several other people's DMs at the same time, probably.
Yes. Sounds like that's what also, maybe not in DMs, but I believe it sounded like Jed was having a little fun. Not like fully, but it sounded like he was a little flirty while they were engaged too.
Oh, I would be shocked if he wasn't. And that's, so my other question was going to be, how long do you think the Jed engagement would have lasted had this news not come out? And apparently it was already on shaky ground, you know, when Hannah actually had to live with him, she realized just what he was like. During that intervening period, even before anything came out, he was already playing the field again. So classic Jed, don't think he's ever going to change, and no. Woe betide anyone who ends up in a relationship with him. But the classic example of this point for Tyler is when Hannah told him that she didn't want to sleep with him in the fantasy suite, he got a lot of praise for his fairly measured reaction to that, and understandably so, but you would have to be incredibly unaware of the situation not to react that way when all the cameras are around you, and you know you're going to be crucified if you're seen to be like pressuring Hannah or not taking that in the right way. And the fact that Tyler, who I think sincerely was understanding about all of it, the fact that, you know, all that we know is he has a basic amount of media savvy, that then becomes evidence that he's like this woke feminist hero who, you know, it just feels like people are seeing what they really want to see, and that's fine, but it's worth just being open about what those reasons are.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, don't anybody should have the reaction, which is that I don't want to go to the fantasy suite, and you should be like, yeah. Also, again, it's a game. So if you're playing the game of it or whatever it is, like, you have to be a good person about it. So, like, it's common sense.
Yeah, I just don't want, like, if Tyler comes out with a dog food jingle of his own, I don't want people to pretend that he's Mozart, is all I'm saying.
Right. Would it be better than Jed's? Probably, but I don't know. That's a challenge.
Oh,
if you're listening, Tyler, make a dog food jingle and we will compare.
Perfect. But it does seem to be in the cards now that Tyler might be going back to Hannah. And I know Hannah got some blowback for just springing that on him after the final rose, but that was very clearly coordinated in advance. There was no way that was the first inclination he had that she might be interested again. But do you think this is going to amount to anything? Because I could see this, you know, Tyler will maybe give it a chance and Bachelor Nation Denial Den will be very excited that he's giving it a chance. But then if in 3 or 4 months time it just kind of fizzles out and they agree to just be friends and still support each other, will people be okay with that? Or will the expectations be so high that they will never get over it?
I think that we just needed a happy ending of some sort and the show gave it to us. And if it fizzles out, I'd be fine with it. I'm not sitting here now thinking this is the be all end all, but it's nice to see maybe something being rekindled and seeing if it was just lightning strikes a bottle during this fake reality show, or whether they have a real connection outside in the real world.
Mm-hmm. And based on rumors, it feels like Tyler is in LA for the right reasons, I guess you would say.
I mean, it's warm. It's nicer than probably Florida. Less humidity.
Sure, and the love of his life potentially might also be residing there currently. But regardless, it doesn't seem like a wise choice necessarily to go back to Hannah, right? Because Hannah's whole thing that gained her attention and praise during Carlton season was she wanted to be chosen every day and not just be someone's second choice. Like, she wanted to be the primary focus of someone's life. And so for Tyler to go back to Hannah now, after she kind of was first infatuated with Luke P and then dropped that, and then was engaged to Jed and then had to drop that, for Tyler to end up just in the queue, if you like, feels like a violation of that maxim.
Or it's an opposite romantic idea of I would never give up on you and I would wait around for you because I love you that much.
From Tyler's end?
Yeah, like there's two ways, which is like I'm waiting for you. I mean, we all cared when Lauren and Ari got together. So actually I take that back. But I mean, there's a romantic idea of like, I always felt like we could work and I waited to see what would happen. Even though you were engaged, I kind of wallowed in it and now maybe it's a possibility. So you could argue he's second best, or you could argue he never gave up.
Yeah, we've seen a few switcheroos going on the male side of things, where like the bachelor picks that person and then realizes, actually, false alarm, psych, I want the other one instead. But in those cases, it's that person realizing that they mess up and taking that step to address it. Whereas in Hannah's case, you do always have this wonder of like, well, if this news hadn't come out, she might still be with Jed, or at least with this idea of Jed that she had constructed in her head, and Tyler would still be on the outside looking in. So if Tyler doesn't care about that, I'm not going to tell him that he should, right? He can do what he wants, and it's fair to say he could get basically anyone he wants, and if he wants Hannah, then more power to him. But I guess it's hard to know. It feels like I'm a second or third wheel to this whole thing.
I feel like it's always something possibility when you break up with someone and get back together. The idea of like, is this meant to be, or is this going to be like a recurring pattern? I hope they can just ride it out in the real world, see what it's like to like really date. That said, it's going to be hard to really date when you're both in the public eye. And in such a public fashion because of what Hannah went through. But if they can make it work, good on them. And if not, it's, you know, Tyler probably hook up with some famous model or something. Doesn't Gigi Hadid follow him?
She does, yes. And she's the first among many, I would wager.
Oh, I can only imagine.
Yeah, I want to see some spat in the public eye when, like, Gigi Hadid and one of Tyler's future jilted ex-model or ex-lover models get into some public spat or something. That's going to be, like, prime Twitter, Instagram drama.
Impossible. Tyler's too sweet of a guy to scorn anyone that way.
Oh, he would rise above the fray, but they might take it out on each other, is what I'm saying.
That's true. And that's what, here's the thing, too, is that we've gotten a lot of shady stories about this guy, that guy. Nothing about Tyler. All that he's a good guy. Just saying.
Is it too good to be true, Mel?
A little bit. A little. I've had that about a guy on Love Island, and I was proven right. So, you know, we'll see. Hopefully no skeletons come out. We'll see. We'll see his future.
When we say it's too good to be true, it is also true that that person is on Love Island, which maybe is enough of a concern to outweigh all of that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Not to throw shade on that magnificent franchise, but I'm not sure what kind of clientele that island attracts.
I mean, what is Love Island but Bachelor in Paradise in the UK? Kind of.
And now in the US, too.
Yeah, which I'm also watching. But I'm excited for Paradise. At least we have that with all these other rejects of other seasons, and we get to see them either find their love story or ruin their legacy.
What percentage of your waking hours would you say are taken up by watching Love Island of any stripe or country?
Let's see, we got five episodes, so we're going on about 10 hours a week, and I also watch like any other trash dating show, so I've got a lot of my free time taken up watching trash summer dating shows. That said, everyone should be watching the season of Are You the One. It's so good.
Yes, it's trash TV summer, some would say. But yeah, this season of Are You the One, I've just got into that show but through this season, and I don't know if I'll stick with it, but this season just as a concept is fairly innovative, and it's really delivering on all fronts so far.
Great casting. Learn something, Bachelor, yes, about your casting, because they found some real stars in this group, and The Bachelor just finds a bunch of blandos off of, I don't know where they find people. They'd have better luck, like how CBS casts Big Brother, just going on Tinder and finding people.
Right. Well, is that a difference you see between Love Island normally, when it's based around heterosexual couples, and a show like Love Island versus The Bachelor, which it seems like it's appealing more to a kind of conservative, religious, traditional idea of romance and attractiveness and so on and so forth.
Yeah, that's a really good point. And I think that's a huge part of what we always overlook on The Bachelor is, you know, we're a very social media savvy group. We live tweet, we talk in Facebook groups about it, all this stuff. There's a large portion of the population that is not a part of these things. Or if they are talking about it on Facebook, they are the people responding to the main Facebook page comments or being the weirdos who go scream on the lead's Instagram page or something. They're not, you know, they're not live tweeting, and they're not into it. They're general America, and they have different opinions maybe than some of us Twitter users.
Mm-hmm. Is The Bachelor still your first love, or has Love Island firmly supplanted that at this stage?
Well, I think we're going to see how far we can push the boundaries of The Bachelor franchise next week on Paradise. I think we're going to start to see things and see how people react to diverse lifestyles. And I can say that based on some initial reaction, I think we're going to have some real shit bags popping up on the internet during Paradise. But I'm glad to see that this show is expanding its base and what it's known for and going away from necessarily the traditional guy and girl thing and just people finding love together regardless of their gender.
And what more can we hope for than that, honestly? But we also now have to think about who the next lead is going to be when the franchise flips back to The Bachelor again. And the smart money at this point seems to be on Mike, although from what you're saying, Peter maybe is still in the mix too.
So here's my thoughts. I love Mike. I love Mike so much. But the thing is, followers matter. And your follower count is a really big deal. And while Mike is doing okay, the fact is that Peter's pushing, he's probably close to 1 million by now. you need that built-in fan base, and that kind of stuff matters. And Mike isn't trending as popular in that sense, and like, you know, with like a casual fan, as opposed to these campaigns on Twitter that I love to participate in of, you know, Mike for Bachelor. I was one of the first to say it, but I also encourage that if you believe in Mike, you need to follow him because that matters. It's the same for any show. They love seeing somebody who has a high following and that they're invested in. But that said, Hannah was not the most followed and number one person on her season. And then she became the Bachelorette. So anything can happen. I would love to see Mike as lead. I think that he had a personality. His smile is delightful. I liked him way more than Peter. And I would like to see him find somebody.
How much he's on Paradise. Yeah, well, how much of that is self-fulfilling, where right now, Mike doesn't have that many followers, but if he's announced as the lead, and in the interim you do a lot to hype him up, and then when he's on the show, maybe he's engaging and fun and attractive and so on, then that compounds on itself, surely.
It would help, but I mean, even right now, like, this is your audition phase. Just like when you go to the reunion and you make a bunch of outrageous comments to be seen so you can be on Paradise, like, they're testing you out and seeing what you can do. And so he's got the personality and he's got the charisma and he's got the desire to find somebody. But I think that there's part of them that does look at those kind of things, be like, okay, if they're not well followed, like, is this going to affect our ratings or anything? And I, again, go back to that conservative middle America, because they dictate a lot of stuff. And that's why we got stuck with Colton as Bachelor.
Yeah, and with Mike being a little older and more put together, would he get a cast that is a little older and more put together? Or are we still going to have 23-year-old wannabe influencers scattered throughout his group?
As long as there is a Bachelor, there will always be 23-year-old aspiring influencers signing up for this show. We might get a few more mature ladies, but ultimately, we will always get some dramatic gals to come shake things up and make it a real shit show. Which is what we need. You have to turn it up with those kind of things. I think that Mike has much more personality than Peter. Peter is a safe choice. Peter is the Colton. He is boring and bland and the kind of bachelor that your mom would say, isn't he dreamy?
Sure. I don't know if my mom would say that necessarily, but moms in general, yeah, as a class, I'm sure would be on board with that.
I should text my mom and ask if she thinks Peter's dreamy. Let's see. We'll see if she replies back, though, during this.
Honestly, I'm a big fan of how engaged your entire family seems to be with reality TV. Like, if I rang my mum right now to talk about The Bachelorette, I think she would think it was a bit, or I was having some kind of, like, it was some, like, cry for help in a code or something. Like, it definitely wouldn't go well, that's all I'm saying.
Oh, my parents have watched Love Island. It's mixed, where half the time they say it's boring, and sometimes they sort of like it. Bachelor franchise, we're obviously a big brother household, though we all hate this season. We watch it all. I think I watch a lot of shows, but dare say, I think my mom watches more.
That's impressive. Is she trying to whip you into shape to watch even more to keep up with her? Or is that success that's defined in your family?
It's a different metric. She also consumes more podcasts than any of us. She listens to like every single podcast. She's a master. She really intakes pop culture of the reality podcast form.
I can tell why you get this. Yeah.
Yeah. We're a charming group.
Family goals, honestly.
Put us on the Amazing Race Family Edition, too.
And just bring that back as a concept as well. I know people didn't like it the first time, but they're wrong. Bring it back. It's a stroke of genius. I'm sure if you find the right families, it's all going to work out for the best.
I actually very much agree.
Yes, thank you. Well, on the topic of Mike as a potential bachelor, I know that him being the first African-American lead from the male side is getting people excited. That's one of the main arguments that I've seen for people pushing Mike. Do you think the franchise is even conscious of that at this point? Because I'm sure they would like to tick that box.
I think but they I don't are know if because they made the choice with Rachel that they really wanted their first black bachelorette. And she was fantastic. I loved Rachel. The issue with Rachel's season, of course, was she fell in love with a guy and then the show chose to portray him less favorably than the runner-up and then made the entire finale about less about how Rachel found love and more about how Rachel and Peter didn't last, which is a bummer in hindsight because she's getting married this month and she did find love in this franchise and the show, you know, I think she's mentioned feeling a bit betrayed by the franchise, but I think also like now that she's doing that podcast, I mean, ultimately you drink the Kool-Aid again. But right. having Mike as the first Black Bachelor, I think he has all the things that we would like. He's handsome. Again, he has a nice smile. He had a personality. He had fun. He's raised by strong women, which I think would be really interesting to see. Like, I think there's a lot there, but I think that it's a risk. And they also said in that article, they claim that like, oh, like he's a top contender, but casting matters because if they're not interested in our lead, then we can't have them, which is the most bullshit thing I've ever heard in my entire life, considering that like they don't know who's going to be on there. They don't really care. You've cast people who are interested in other people who are on the list to be on the show. So like,
yeah, it would be a little bit of a head scratcher if that was a concern for Mike suddenly and not a concern for Colton or Juan Pablo, or really take your pick of any of the leads exactly. that we've had in the past. Yeah. So
listen, if I could be on a reality show, if I weren't some old lady compared to like those 21-year-old influencers on The Bachelor, I would sign up to date Mike. He's a catch.
You are the influencer, Mel, that they aspire to be.
Yeah, this is true.
You're a social media mogul.
Oh, my God. I am. fun fact, I'm related to Frankie Grande. No, I'm just kidding.
Why do you think I invited you here? I want to absorb some of that clout.
Yeah. Listen, we all aspire to be a Frankie Grande. I think we all say that every day in our lives. We make a vision board, and the center of that vision board is a picture of Frankie Grande.
Absolutely. So what other miscellaneous things do you want to get off your chest about The Bachelor, or I guess Love Island too? I'll open the floodgates if the floor is yours.
I'm not going to floodgate Love Island other than, you know, watch season 5. It's on Hulu right now in bits because they released it for us and it's been insane. But overall, I'm going to give my thoughts on Hannah's season, which is I was pleasantly surprised. I had very low expectations for this season. It derailed for a very long time, thanks to Luke P. But overall, I really liked it. That said, this franchise has a major problem in spoiling everything too soon. It's driving me nuts.
Well, the franchise itself or the Bachelor Nation at large?
So actually the franchise itself. So I'm all for, back in the day, I used to read Reality Steve. And then eventually I stopped because I was like, if I know what's going to happen, then why am I watching this? Why, like, even though it's kind of interesting to see then almost like the edgic, so to say, of The Bachelor, of like, how do you get to this point knowing this person won? That said, I feel like there were a few moments this season that were so huge and could have been like these, I mean, they were still big moments, but it could have been so massive if you didn't show it every week for 3 weeks leading up to it. And part of me feels that they were concerned that fans were thinking that Hannah would pick Luke, and they were afraid that they might tune out of that, and therefore started to show like his comeuppance to make sure viewers stayed interested and didn't leave because they thought the worst was to come, which, by the way, the worst did come in a second wave. But yeah.
Yes.
Like I wrote, what if the windmill was a surprise? What if that episode, like, we knew that she was going to go off on Luke. We knew that she was going to say like sex is okay or whatever. But imagine if they didn't tell us that she said she had sex in the windmill 2 times. That would have been huge and just like earth shattering. And then it was just like, okay, we know it's coming. And then we're waiting and we just wanted to know who it was. And maybe that was part of it. They just wanted you to get like the intrigue of that. But that, I've seen previews for Paradise that kind of spoil everything. I get it. We're in a different world of TV and stuff now, but I do watch to be a little surprised, especially Paradise, since it's all about like couples swapping and people coming in and out.
Sure. Is there a way around that, or is it always going to be this way, do you think?
I mean, there's a little way around it. I mean, you don't have to give everything away. Like, in the promo, and maybe I miswatched it, I'm not going to give away too much of it, but they're like, oh, these people are in a love square. But then they show those two people very far along in the process still together. So clearly you're indicating like who they chose and all this other kind of in between. You didn't have to give all of it away. Like, we're going to watch. You don't have to show us. We don't care. Bachelor Nation doesn't need previews. We generally will watch any of the shit you throw at us.
Yeah, we really are gluttons for punishment at this point.
I've been watching the show so long and I won't tune out even though I know I should. But I don't care because I just keep coming back. And I know people will say, turn off the previews, but I can't. It's on. It's there. Like, it's in my face.
Mm-hmm. Well, anything else to close us out before we get out of here?
Can't wait to see John Paul Jones in Paradise, yes. Even though Lord knows what he really did on the show other than have a great name. And I still resent that they tricked us midway through the season into a clip show.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to watch Paradise, Tom?
I won't say no, but look, I could see myself getting roped in is all I'm saying.
I feel like you got to dabble a little. If you're going into this franchise and you liked Bachelor Pad, which kind of also had a premise of like, you know, you got to switch it up a little bit because remember you had to like figure out who your partner was going to be. I feel like why not give it a shot?
I don't know if I want to like it, though. I don't know if I want to fall in love with Bachelor in Paradise and then want to go back and watch old seasons of Bachelor in Paradise and then keep watching it every single summer or winter or whenever it airs. Like that feels like a big commitment to take on.
It is. But, you know, you've been dabbling a bit into the Bachelor Nation and you might just want to like fully embrace it and just really let it enchant you, accept its rose, you know?
Yes. Well, in the meantime, if anyone wants to accept your rose on Twitter, where can they find you, Mel?
You can follow me at MelGotServed.
And what are you resuming live tweeting anything else at the moment, or is there some kind of off season somewhere in here?
So, always live tweeting. Always gonna be live tweeting. But I'm actually gonna be doing some live streams on TV Co for Bachelor in Paradise. So if you are a Bachelor in Paradise fan, I'm planning for now to start on Tuesdays at 10 after the show. Might do it on Wednesdays after Big Brother season. Who knows? But join along so we can talk shit about Paradise because it's always a real wild ride. And that's why we look forward to it in the summer. It's kind of that last bang of trash before, you know, Labor Day appears.
Perfect. Well, you can find me, of course, on Twitter at DomHRV. Feel free to tweet at me about The Bachelor or really anything else. But I think that will do it for now. So thanks again, Mel, for coming on. And we'll talk to all of you again soon. Take care, everyone.